Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Lila Pravishta Om Vishnu Pad Paramhansa Pri Prajakacharya Astu Tarasata Shishima Shila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I really wanted to thank all of you so much for being so gracious and welcoming us here and inviting me to speak. And I was thinking so many things, actually. I was thinking that everything is done so beautifully here with so much care and attention. I really, really love the sign out in the hall that says, what does it say? Living with gratitude, giving back with compassion. I really love that. And I was thinking that, I understand that there's a school of bhakti here. So many schools, so many teaching programs. Are you the school of bhakti? Anyway, whoever it is, but there's a school of bhakti. So the school of bhakti is actually the school of gratitude. And in the school of gratitude, what do we learn? We learn love. And the only degrees, it said that the only degrees that we get in that school of gratitude are degrees of aliveness. So thank you all for being so very conscious and caring so carefully. And I just love all the little caring touches. I love the way the Vaishnavi who prepares Prabhupada's Vyasasan every morning and opens the curtains, how the flower vases match the beautiful curtains so beautifully, and how she carefully takes Prabhupada's japa bag off his hand and rolls it up very carefully. You see how it's just standing up very perfectly. And I love the tiny little vases that are next to the shalagram on Sitaram's altar. I think the old British word is nosegays or something like that, but these lovely little vases that are just the size of the shalagram. And Jagat Priya for caring so carefully for all the ladies, and all the ladies for reflecting their hearts back so lovingly. And your beautiful kirtans and your Harinam Sankirtan and Oxford Street and your book distribution. And I was just thinking that Srila Prabhupada would be so pleased to see what you've done here. And I was also thinking that Srila Prabhupada's mother wanted him to become a barrister in London, right? But Srila Prabhupada's father wanted him to play mridanga and love Krishna. So I think his father won, but still Prabhupada was able to bring so many British barristers and CEOs and IT professionals and scientists, et cetera, to all surrender to his lotus feet in London. So, and I also really want to thank Bhakta George Harrison for, for this amazing donation. I was thinking, he didn't really like institutions very much, but I think he would be really very, very, very pleased with how you've all developed his gift to be such a beautiful offering to Srila Prabhupada and to his dear, sweet Lord. So thank you all so much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I actually don't have the book. So while someone's getting the book, there was something else I just wanted to say, that Anuttama Prabhu was asking Vishakha Prabhu, how's it going? And she said, well, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And so I was thinking of how St. Francis used to call himself and his brothers gods, the fools of God, God's fools. So I was thinking, wow, we need more fools like that, huh? More fools to just rush in and take up service in Srila Prabhupada's great mission. Was I supposed to bring the book from somewhere else? Okay, good. So I'll just start, until the book comes, I'll just say that this is the chapter where Sukadeva Goswami is speaking about the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I'll read that first verse of the chapter, but here we are. Good. Thank you, Prabhu. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, is it up there? Yes, okay. Stitir Vaikuntha Vijaya. Stitir Vaikuntha Vijaya. Posanam Tadanugraha. Posanam Tadanugraha. Manvantarani Saddharma. Utaya karma vasana, stitir vaikuntha vijaya, posanam tadanugraha, manvantarani saddharma, utaya karma vasana. Stitir Vaikuntha Vijaya, Posanam Tadanugraha, Manvantarani Saddharma, Utaya Karma Vasana. Please chant. Vaikuntha Vijaya. Vasanam tadanugraha, vantarani saddharma, utaya karma vasana. Vantarani saddharma. Utaya karma vasana. Vaikuntha vijaya. Posanam tadanugraha. Tarani saddharma. Utaya karma vasana. Vaishnavis? Manvantarani saddharma, utaya karma vasana. Vaikuntha vijaya, posanam tadanugraha. Manvantarani saddharma, utaya karma vasana. Stitihi, the right situation. Vaikuntha vijaya, the victory of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Poshanam, maintenance. Tad anugraha, his causeless mercy. Manvantarani, the reign of the Manus. Saddharma, perfect occupational duty. Utaya, impetus to work. Karmavasana, desire for fruitive work. Translation: the right situation for the living entities is to obey the laws of the Lord and thus be in perfect peace of mind under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manus and their laws are meant to give right direction in life. The impetus for activity is the desire for fruitive work. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Repeat first. The right situation for the living entities is to obey the laws of the Lord and thus be in perfect peace of mind under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manus and their laws are meant to give right direction in life. The impetus for activity is the desire for fruitive work. Purport. This material world is created, maintained for some time, and again annihilated by the will of the Lord. The ingredients for creation and the subordinate creator Brahma are first created by Lord Vishnu in his first and second incarnations. The first Purusha incarnation is Mahavishnu, and the second Purusha incarnation is the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, from whom Brahma is created. The third Purusha avatar is the Chirodakshay Vishnu, who lives as the supersoul of everything in the universe and maintains the creation generated by Brahma. Shiva is one of the many sons of Brahma, and he annihilates the creation. Therefore, the original creator of the universe is Vishnu, and he is also the maintainer of the created beings by his causeless mercy. As such, it is the duty of all conditioned souls to acknowledge the victory of the Lord and thus become pure devotees and live peacefully in this world where miseries and dangers are always in existence. The conditioned souls who take this material creation as the place for satisfaction of the senses and thus are illusioned by the external energy of Vishnu remain again to be subjected to the laws of material nature, creation and destruction. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that beginning from the topmost planet of this universe down to the lowest planet, Patala Loka, all are destructible, and the conditioned souls may travel in space, either by good or bad work, or by modern spacecraft. But they are sure to die everywhere, although the duration of life in different planets is different. The only means to attain eternal life is to go back home, back to Godhead, where there is no more rebirth as in the material planets. The conditioned souls, being unaware of this very simple fact, because of forgetting their relationship with the Lord of Vaikuntha, try to plan out a permanent life in this material world. Being illusioned by the external energy, they thus become engaged in various types of economic and religious development, forgetting that they are meant for going back home, back to Godhead. This forgetfulness is so strong due to the influence of Maya that the conditioned souls do not at all want to go back to Godhead. By sense enjoyment, they become victims of birth and death repeatedly and thus spoil human lives, which are chances for going back to Vishnu. The directive scriptures made by the Manus in different ages and millenniums are called Saddharma, good guidance for the human beings who should take advantage of all the revealed scriptures for their own interest to make life's successful termination. The creation is not false, but it is a temporary manifestation just to give a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead. The desire to go back to Godhead and functions performed in that direction form the right path of work. When such a regulative path is accepted, the Lord gives all protection to his devotees by his causeless mercy. While the non-devotees risk their own activities to bind themselves in a chain of fruitive reactions, the word Saddharma is significant in this connection. Sad-dharma, or duty performed for going back to Godhead and thus becoming his unalloyed devotee, is the only pious activity. All others may pretend to be pious, but actually they are not. It is for this reason only that the Lord advises in the Bhagavad Gita that one give up all so-called religious activities and completely engage in the devotional service of the Lord to become free from all anxieties due to the dangerous life of material existence. To work situated in Saddharma is the right direction of life. One's aim of life should be to go back to home, back to Godhead, and not be subjected to repeated births and deaths in the material world by getting good or bad bodies for temporary existence. Herein lies the intelligence of human life, and one should desire the activities of life in that way. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militamina Dasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Hina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakapatarubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this chapter of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking and defining the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me just read this first text of the chapter, which you've already read in this class. Shistuka Uvacha, Atrasargo Visargascha, Stanam Poshanam Uttayaha, Manvantare Sanukata, Nir Rodo Muktir Ashrayaha. So these are the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe I should I read them? Okay, I'll read the translation. There are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following: the creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative impetus, the change of Manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the summum bonum. So the summum bonum refers to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna's personal pastimes, especially his Vrindavan pastimes, are described. And each canto is leading us up progressively to understand those very intimate pastimes. But I would say also that all the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are actually speaking about this concept of ashraya, how the Lord gives protection to his devotees. That's really there in all the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you think about it, starting with the first canto, the Pandavas, Kunti Devi, Bhishma Devi, and it goes on and on. So that ashraya is there in all the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. I wanted to mention that my dear friend Mandakini and I went to Soho Street the other day for the darshan, the beautiful darshan of the Supreme Controller of London, Shri Radha Landanishwar. And we had their beautiful darshan. Thank you, Mandakini. And Shubha Vilas Prabhu gave a very interesting class, and he made many interesting points. But one thing that I thought was particularly interesting that I should mention here is that he said that in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, and the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he said there are discussions that are very technical, and as we all know, and he said that they can be very discouraging and almost like create blocks for readers who don't have the intention of pursuing and going further on up to the 10th canto and completing all 12 cantos. So it was very interesting to hear him say that, because, you know, we all think of that. These technical parts of the Bhagavatam can be very, very difficult. But he's saying that it's almost by intention or by design that they're there to block us from going further if we don't have the right intentions. I thought that was really, really interesting. So the focus of this class Many points were made in the Srila Prabhupada's purport, but I wanted to speak about this principle of Saddharma. And Srila Prabhupada repeatedly mentions this in this purport. He says in the purport that the duty of all conditioned souls is to acknowledge, and this is so wonderful, the victory of the Lord. Isn't that so beautiful? Acknowledge that, that's the position of the devotee, to acknowledge the victory of the Lord, that I will be defeated and he will be victorious. So beautiful. And thus become pure devotees and live peacefully in this world where miseries and dangers are always in existence. And then another place in the purport he says, Saddharma means good guidance for the human beings, to make life successful termination, just to give a chance for conditioned souls to go back to Godhead. Saddharma, duty performed for going back to Godhead and becoming his unalloyed devotee, is the only pious activity. And then he says, herein lies the intelligence of human life, and one should desire in that way. So I first wanted to ask all of you, what would you like to add? What is Saddharma? Anyone like to shed more light? What is Saddharma? Yes, Prabhu. I can repeat if the mic's please.
Dharma that will lead us to establishing our eternal relationship with the Lord.
Beautiful. Dharma that leads us to establishing our eternal relationship with the Lord. Beautiful reflection. Yes, Prabhu. The nine limbs of bhakti are Saddharma. Beautiful. Thank you. Someone on this side? The quiet ladies. Yes. Guru Charana Padma, yes. Leading a good life according to religious principles. Beautiful. Thank you so much. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
The nine limbs practiced in this world and formed in protection in the spiritual world.
The nine limbs practiced in this world, which help us form our life in the spiritual world, are both Saddharma. Yes, Prabhu? Our eternal dharmas that we'll do now and also for the rest of all eternity. Thank you. Such beautiful reflections. So when I looked at this verse, the first thing I thought of was, you know how traditionally in ISKCON when we have a Nectar of Devotion class, someone will, or the group will always chant the prayers to the six Goswamis. In particular, the second verse, which is, many of you probably know, Nana Shastra Vicharana Kanipano Saddharma Sanstapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanya Karo Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Nandina Mattaliko Derupa Sanatano Ragujago Shijiva Gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances to the six Goswamis, namely Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, and Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. So, yeah, what is this Saddharma of the Goswamis, and how can we access it? I was thinking that each one of those verses is really defining Saddharma and how they practiced and taught and lived Saddharma. If we look, we could take a whole class just examining each one of those verses. But one thing I did want to say as I looked at those verses that really stood out to me, I mean, they were offering thousands of obeisances every day and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But one point I think that's very important, they were non-envious well-wishers of all living beings, both the good ones and the bad ones, the good and the ruffians, right? So that's something so beautiful. So I think if we want to really go in the direction of practicing Saddharma, that would be a very important trajectory or maxim for us. So then thinking more about Saddharma, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, sixth verse, describes the highest Dharma. Savai punsam paro dharma, yato bhakti radhoksaje, ahaitikiya pratyata yayatma supersediti. The supreme Dharma for all humanity is that by which one can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord, the Lord who is known as Adhoksaja, the one who is beyond the reach of all the material senses. And then the verse completes it, brings it up to the perfection. This devotional service must be unmotivated, that means without material selfish motivation, and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Okay, so that's our goal, right? That's the what you could say is the gold standard definition of pure devotional service or Saddharma. So we may not be there yet. We may not be even anywhere near there yet. But I think an important point to make here is that leadership people talk about this, that successful people begin with the end in mind. Have you heard that before? I think Stephen Covey said that, but maybe a million other people say it too. So successful people begin with the end in mind, with the goal in mind. And in the American Civil Rights Movement, they had an expression, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. So these are people who were being, they were singing gospel hymns. This was their inspiration. It was really like a sankirtan. They were singing gospel hymns, and those hymns inspired them to respond with superhuman tolerance. They were being dragged off to jail while there were dogs biting at their heels, and they would just go limp. And they were remembering this, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. So we have to do that too, even though we think, wow, it's a million miles away from me. I have no hope. But here's a very hope-giving prayer from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think this is from his Chaitanya Sikshamrita. He says, I find this very hope-giving. So he says, O merciful Lord, Jai Shishi Radhagokulananda. Haribo. Nice to see you, Prabhu. Haribo. Nice to see you. Haribo. So here's what he says. O merciful Lord, this is my specific submission at your lotus feet. I do not ask for bodily happiness, knowledge, wealth, or followers. Let whatever attraction I presently have for material sense enjoyment be transformed into attraction and affection for your lotus feet. I pray not only that this affection for your lotus feet remains unvarying in all circumstances of happiness and distress, but that day after day it continues to grow by the influence of chanting your holy names. Wherever I take birth, be it in the animal species, in the heavenly planets, or in hell, may ahaitiki bhakti, that means bhakti without selfish motives, ever grace the heart of this servant. Do you like that quote? Do you find it hope-giving? I find it very hope-giving. So good. Okay, so we talked a bit about Saddharma, which again we could talk about all day for months. But what about Asaddharma or cheating Dharma, cheating religion? Any thoughts on that? Yes. I think the mic is off. Yeah, so the actions that lead us away from Krishna's lotus feet and surrendering to Krishna, looking for material selfish profit. Great. What else is cheating Dharma or Asat Dharma? Yes, Prabhu.
Committing offenses on the strength of Harinam.
Yeah,
or committing, devotional service.
Committing offenses on the strength of chanting the holy name. What does that mean? It means like, I think because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I can go do all nonsense and both will equal each other out. No, that's considered the greatest offense, right? What about, well, I'll ask first, wait, and ask you, what else? What else is asat dharma or cheating dharma? Yes? Mayavadi philosophy, right? Wow. Or how about being impersonal in my execution of Krishna consciousness, which could kind of veer off into that direction? Or I was also thinking, what about maintaining material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter? Wow. It's a lot, right? Anything else? Asat Dharma, yes, Prabhu.
Any process that doesn't lead to the highest goal?
Yeah, getting waylaid by any process that doesn't lead to the highest goal. I think I'll take a time out for a few years and pursue blah, 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 whatever, or for a few moments or for a few days, yeah. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu. I don't know where the mic went, but this Prabhu in the back has a... That's a point.
It's those who, in the name of religion, kill and torture other people, and that actually, I can't remember.
They're like people who, in the name of religion, torture other people, other living beings.
Yeah, and kill other living beings. Of thinking they'll get the goal of life, which is eternal life with Allah, something like that. Or this jihad, you know.
Thinking they'll get eternal life by these activities.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's one saying by Mahadevant himself. He says, actually, the holiest of wars is with oneself.
The holiest of what?
Wars is with oneself.
The holiest of wars or jihad is within oneself.
Self, yeah. Beautiful. This is jihad. Yeah.
I remember reading that Muhammad himself wouldn't even kill an insect. You know, so, yeah. And sometimes people say, well, animals have no soul. I mean, they used to say women have no souls. Get that, you know. Some Christian theologians a few centuries ago used to debate whether women had souls. So, true, it's true. I won't mention the name. But, so thank you all for these introspections. And, yeah, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, right? Most famous verse, 1866, Krishna instructs sarva dharmam parityajya, right? Reject all lesser dharmas and take exclusive shelter of me, right? And then what about the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam? First verse, first chapter, second verse. First canto, first chapter, second verse. Very boldly tells us, orders us, dharmak prochita kaitravo, kick out all, Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out, rejects all cheating dharmas and only propounds the highest truth, right? So I think the Maharaj was saying yesterday that that human life begins when we begin to inquire, what is my source, what is my purpose, what am I doing here, right? But still we may have many other different motivations according to our different levels of consciousness. Generally, people use the word dharma, religion. People generally in the world think of dharma. Dharma is for artha, right? Praying for money, financial stability, success, economic development, right? I need money to satisfy what? Lust. So dharma, artha is economic development. Kama is our lust. And then later, when people become frustrated, their desires are unfulfilled, then they seek moksha or liberation. Get me out of here. It's so frustrating. I want to give up on life or give up on my own individuality, seek oneness or the void or some kind of nirvana state. So this is traditionally what people think of when they think of dharma. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, 16th verse, talks about four kinds of motivated not very perfect people who approach Krishna. Someone just distressed, someone in poverty, someone curious, someone seeking knowledge of the absolute truth. And the one who is seeking knowledge is considered, Krishna considers Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that he is the highest, and he eventually comes and realizes that Krishna Vasudeva is everything. Our motivated person, seventh chapter, also talks about how motivated people approach various demigods, or we could say maybe various self-help gurus for quick success formulas. So yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam rejects cheating, selfishly motivated dharma, and teaches sad-dharma, which is for those pure in heart, those who are non-envious, well-wishers to everyone, like the six Goswamis. And this is the way they became dear to everyone, both the gentle and the ruffians. And then Srila Prabhupada also talks about how sad-dharmis, like he was promoting, a competitionless society, which he called God communism, or Krishna communism, or a communism with God in the center. Instead of the state being in the center, God or Krishna being in the center. And if you look at Isha Upanishad, this is the Ishya Vasya consciousness. Take only what's necessary for yourself and leave the rest for others' needs, knowing well that all things belong to Krishna. Gandhi once said that there is enough for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed. So not the state or the capitalists in the center, but exploiting the ordinary citizens for their own selfish interests. So the sad-dharma points to the highest reality, the personhood of the Supreme Person, especially Krishna in his most intimate realm of Vrindavan. So I wanted to mention that the Christians have what they call a catechism, and they pledge to believe and follow that catechism. So we don't really have that, but in a sense we kind of do. Some devotees will say, no, we don't have any catechism in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but in a sense we do. So I wanted to share a verse with you. Is this class supposed to end right at 8:30 or? Yes? Okay, I'll try my best. Okay, so here's a very important verse that I think this is kind of our Gaudiya Vaishnav catechism. Maybe you know this verse. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddama Vrindavana Ramya Kachchit Upasano Rajavadu Varganava Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Amalam Prema Pumartha Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatradara Naparaha. So here it is in English. What I would say is our catechism. Some people might argue with that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is worshipped along with his transcendental abode, Vrindavan. The most pleasing form of worship of the Lord is that which was performed by the gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority on everything, and pure love of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life for all men. These statements, for which we have the highest regard, are the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is from the Chaitanya Mata Manjusa of Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. So this sad-dharma given by Lord Chaitanya, this is what we receive in disciplic session. So I would say that another aspect of sad-dharma is the realization of our tininess. I like to call it the satisfaction of sacred smallness. And that has to do with our inconceivable oneness and difference with God or Krishna, the absolute truth. So I think this is also something that you could say belongs in our catechism, right? So we're tiny jiva souls, we're Krishna's marginal energy, and yet we have a oneness in quality, which is so beautiful. It tastes a drop of the ocean water. It tastes the same as the vast ocean, but it's tiny, and the vast ocean can cause a tsunami. So this is also part of sad-dharma, an eternal mood of service, that I'm never the master, and I should hear and serve in the mood of what Srila Prabhupada calls submissive oral reception, not in a challenging mood. So here's a Srila Prabhupada story that I don't know if you've heard, but you might like. So Srila Prabhupada was asked by one proud young devotee who eventually became a disciple and a sannyasi. At this point, he was very proud. And he asked Srila Prabhupada, and this was at 26 Second Avenue, he asked Srila Prabhupada in a very challenging mood, trying to kind of test Prabhupada, trip him up with a trick question, right? And so he said, how many windows are there in the Empire State Building, the tallest building in New York, right? And Prabhupada just shot back, how many drops of water are in a mirage? Prabhupada, right? So, yeah, this Sanskrit word, susrushu, create a culture in your heart to be eager to hear, anxious to hear, open the door of the heart to receive spiritual knowledge and love, and receive what Srila Prabhupada calls the Govinda necessity. Srila Prabhupada was asked, how can we become perfectly Krishna conscious? He said, by your anxiety. That means by our ardent desire. So, yeah. So I just wanted to make one other point. Let me just kind of wrap this up. There's a very important verse in the 10th canto that talks about how you mentioned Mayavadi philosophy. You mentioned Mayavadi philosophy. So there's a verse in the 10th canto that talks about people who have an impersonal understanding of God. They're liberated in their minds, but they're not really liberated. The phrase is vimukta maninas. So I was thinking that, and the verse says that people who neglect Krishna's lotus feet and accept different processes of self-realization, they are liberated only in their minds. So I was thinking, I just wanted to maybe close with this point, that if we are practicing Krishna consciousness or Krishna bhakti, but in an impersonal kind of way, not really offering our hearts, not really opening our hearts, then we may think that we're on a very high level in advanced Krishna consciousness, but in fact we may also be vimukta maninas, liberated only in our minds, if we're acting and living and serving in an impersonal way. So that's one point that I have more thoughts here, but maybe see what, thank you very much, what are you? Do you have any reflections or takeaways or what was important for you here? Or maybe somebody has a question. I'm trying to respect the time here. Yes, Prabhu.
Can you tell us more on that last point, how we actually can develop, you know, real devotion to Krishna?
Yeah, that's such a beautiful question. How can we develop real devotional for Krishna, and not be like hovering in that mental state while we think we're in Krishna consciousness? So yeah, I was thinking very much since I've been here that Srila Prabhupada was such a radical personalist, and he engaged with anyone he met. Like, I think in the place where we're staying, there's a picture of him speaking to the race car driver, and there's a racing car in the picture on Prabhupada's desk, and Prabhupada's smiling, and, you know, so Prabhupada was reciprocating so lovingly wherever people were coming from. And we also need to learn that, not to just come out with all barrels blazing and, you know, I'm going to tell them, I'm going to go out to Oxford Street, I'm going to smash Gandhi, and I'm going to tell everybody where it's at. I mean, come on, you know, sometimes Prabhupada would say, I can say these things, you cannot, you know, so... Yeah, this idea of radical personalism, I think it's really something to be meditated on. I think of it every morning when I watch this beautiful Vaishnavi take Prabhupada's bead bag and wrap the strap so nicely. You can see on the Vyasasan, the top is poking up in a beautiful, it's like a little flower blooming. You know, so love is in the details, right? The non-devotees say the devil's in the details. We say love is in the details. So, yeah, you know, really put your care and attention. I'm really seeing that here. There's such beautiful care and attention that devotees are putting into their services. So I think you're a great example for the whole world. Thank you so much.
Is devil in the details? In some countries and some languages, they have a different phrase. God is in the details.
Yeah, God is in the details. That's better. God is in the details. So if we want to evoke the presence of God, we have to serve with great care and attention, not just, you know, there's a beautiful lecture Prabhupada gave in Vrindavan that is just will really shake you in your boots if you listen to it. He said, you know, why any nice flower, any dead flower, any damn dead flower will do. You know, he says, my rascal spiritual master has given me this order. you know, that you must worship the deity, but just any dead flower will do, you know. So, you know, this is the consciousness, this is the lackadaisical consciousness, material consciousness that we can fall into if we're not keeping our saw sharp, our, you know, consciousness sharp. So, yeah, very important. Thank you. Anything else? What else? Yes, Prue. Thank you.
Sat and Asat Dharma, when you're saying that Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all Asat, Asat Dharma, and you were also talking about that verse of six Goswamis that you have quoted, Vanda Rupa Sanatana, that only non-envious person can ponder into the secrets of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes. Only a non-envious person can access the secrets of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, you know, I can go on the internet, blast my opinions on everything, tell everyone where it's at, you know, blast anyone I don't agree with. Wow, where's the non-enviousness? Where's the sadharma, right? Where's the well-wishing friend to all living beings? You know, some people haven't even really begun sadhu sangha. Have we even begun sadhu sangha? Have we even taken the first step? If we're on the internet every day, blasting, blasting, blasting. Wow. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. How do we reach this stage where we're not judging people based on their good and bad and be a well-wisher for absolutely everyone?
Yeah, that's a beautiful, deep question. How do we reach this stage of, can you say it again?
Just any reflections on this, I guess, to be a well-wisher for all.
Be a well-wisher of all. Yeah, you know, when you walk by that sign in the hall, really stop and pause and meditate on it. Take a deep breath and meditate on it. What does it mean to live gratitude and to live in appreciation? When I read Krishna book, I notice that every chapter, the residents of Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, they're like astonished. They're all being astonished at every moment. They're like struck with wonder. So I'm really thinking very much that this is the entree into the spiritual world, to be struck with wonder. And we can also be struck with wonder, even here in London, England, if we stop to pause and really live very consciously. So stop to appreciate all the gifts that we're given. I mean, you know, Anuttama Prabhu was saying when we were walking over here this morning, such beautiful songbirds walking over to Mangalarti. We have darkness when we walk to Mangalarti where we live, but beautiful songbirds. Huh? You know, so appreciate all the gifts that we're given. Appreciate each other. You know, sometimes someone's cooking the Rajbhog offering for 25 years. Nobody appreciates until the day that she burns the sabji. And then everyone's, the sabji was burned. It was terrible. You know, so stop to appreciate. Appreciate each other. Appreciate your own sincere endeavor. When you're chanting, try to hear the sincerity of your own voice. You know? So I think that's really the point between the material and spiritual, when we can come to the point of appreciation. And then we go into this, get struck by wonder like the residents of Vrindavan. There's a beautiful American poet, Mary Oliver, and she says, she's talking about her time of death, and she says, when it's over, let it be said that I was a bride at the altar to amazement. Isn't that beautiful? Let it be said that when it's over, when I'm dead or when I'm dying, let it be said that I was a bride at the altar of amazement. Whew. So I think that's very sacred bhakti consciousness, you know, and it would change the dynamic in the way we deal with each other, right? You think? Yes, Prabhu.
We were talking about
talking about Saddharma.
And we also hear sometimes it quoted that Prabhupada said, only 50% of my mission is completed. Mm. And the other part was Daivivana Ashram. Mm.
Prabhupada said only 50% of my mission has been completed.
And he talked about Daivivarnashram.
Daivivarnashram.
In the context of what we're discussing today, how do those two things fit together?
Yeah, so how do those two things fit together if we have to learn and study Varnashram? So we have to keep in mind that I may have duties within Varnashram. Maybe I'm taking care of cows, or maybe I'm a business person, or maybe I'm a manager, or maybe I'm a wife and I have duties to my husband, or, you know, all these kinds of dharmas. But these are not the highest dharma. So we can be executing these dharmas to live peacefully in society, but always keeping our eyes on the prize, I would say. Keeping our eyes on the pole star of what the eternal dharma is. And in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, Ramananda Roy first proposed Varnashram. And Lord Chaitanya didn't reject it, but he said, go further. So I think that's the point we're making in this class. Lord Chaitanya did not reject Varnashram, but he said, go further. You have to go further. So we may be acting in all those ways. Yadubar Prabhu may be thinking, I'm a filmmaker, but ultimately he's a Vaishnava with that goal in mind, keeping that pole star of I'm a servant of the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's pure devotional service. And people may be doing it. Where's Coco? People may be doing it in different ways. Coco wants to make a film. She's a filmmaker. She wants to make a film, and maybe she's going to do it in a very out-of-the-box way. But her intention is also that she's going to glorify Krishna. Hers is going to be like a Harry Potter, kind of a wild film, but it's all going to be bringing people to an understanding of who they really are. So someone may say, oh, Coco, you're in Maya, that's such Maya, you know. But so best to look within ourselves, right, to look within ourselves rather than criticizing others and see how can I keep my eyes on the prize of that Saddharma rather than criticizing someone else's and walk a few miles in their moccasins, you know, as it said. Yes, you have your hand up. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, I was actually dying to tell this one story of Prabhupada, and I didn't have enough time, but is it all right? It's 20 minutes to 9. Okay, so here's the story that I heard recently that I really love, that I've been sharing recently. So one of my god sisters asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we be free from anxiety? If you heard this the other day in our Lady's Sangha, don't tell. But anyway, I really like this story. So she said, how can we be free from anxiety, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, there must be anxiety. Otherwise, you will become a jumbi. And everyone was like, a what? And he was giving the Bengali pronunciation of the word zombie. Right? So there must be anxiety. Otherwise, you will become a zombie. So he was making the point that if we can take on some anxiety in Krishna's service, then we'll be have that anxiety. What can I do to please Krishna? What can I do to please Srila Prabhupada? Otherwise, we'll go into, anxiety for material things. Actually, once I was coming up into Prabhupada's room, and someone was in front of me, and Prabhupada said, where's Rukmini? And this person said, oh, she's always busy somewhere doing something in Prabhupada. And then I just walked in and Prabhupada went like this, like he was embracing, and he said, always stay busy, busy, busy. Otherwise Maya will say, come and play with me. And he went like this to embrace, like Maya's embracing. So, you know, it's not that we should be busy internally, I think also is an important point. Not just externally, be busy awakening our inner life. Yes. Is that good? All right. Well, thank you all so much for inviting us here, and thank you for being such an exemplary temple in Srila Prabhupada's mission. I can just see that Prabhupada must be so pleased and so proud of Bhaktivedanta Manor. And George, wherever he is up in the spiritual world as well. So thank you all so much. Hare Krishna. Yeah, it really is. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.